You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Health and Wellness.
This Health and Wellness feature is brought to you by BestMed, South Africa's largest self-administered medical scheme. SMS your name to 44425 for a quote. BestMed, personally yours. Standard rates and T's and C's apply. So, on our Health and Wellness feature today, we are focusing on liver. January marks Love Your Liver Month. So we are looking at the steps you can take to keep your liver healthy. I want us to also look at the dangers of not looking after your liver. I mean, some people during the festive season had a fair share of alcoholic beverages. So you may want to listen so you can know how to cleanse your liver from alcohol. And if you've got some, I don't know, rituals, what you do normally every year, on how you take care of your liver, you can give us some calls. You can send your WhatsApp voice notes and your SMSs as well. Dr. Bilal Bobat is a specialist gastroenterologist and hepatologist who's going to be guiding us through this discussion. Thank you for making time, Doctor. Welcome.
Hi, Clement. It's an absolute pleasure to join you.
Let's start with just some basics. What are the basic functions of the liver?
Okay, so the liver is a large organ that is in the right upper quadrant of the abdomen, just under your right-hand side ribs. The liver has a variety of functions, and if we were to mechanically process everything that the liver does, you're talking about a chemical plant that would stretch across many, many football or soccer pitches. The liver assists with cleaning your blood, specifically from substances such as ammonia and bilirubin, which is the breakdown product of old red blood cells. It receives all the nutrients that you take in, nutrients and toxins, of course, that you consume in your daily life. All those substances get passed through the liver and processed into substances that are either useful for the body or detoxified into substances that are not harmful and then excreted or utilized for other purposes. The liver makes then various proteins such as albumin, clotting proteins, both clotting and anti-clotting proteins. It keeps your blood in balance in terms of clotting. A whole variety of different hormones which help regulate blood pressure, maintains your bones and muscle. It stores iron, vitamins, various minerals. It stores sugar and fat. Your fat-soluble vitamins, especially in terms of vitamins A, D, E, and K. The liver manufactures cholesterol, which, a lot of people automatically assume that that's a bad thing. But remember that your cell linings are made from cholesterol, and that's, important. It also has an important role in regulating your sugar balance and glucose, because it stores something called glycogen, which is a ready source of energy. And, patients without this, you'll see, often become quite malnourished. What the liver does for you, I think, can only really be appreciated once the liver stops doing what it does, and you see how sick these individuals get.
Yeah, and perhaps that's why it's all important to keep that liver healthy. How do we do that?
Absolutely. So I think the important thing is that a healthy diet and exercise, your absolute basics. If you spoke to a cardiologist, if you spoke to an endocrinologist, if you spoke to a pulmonologist, I think every physician out there would emphasize the importance of a healthy diet and exercise, and how important that is for your for whatever organ system. But this is especially so when it comes to the liver and being aware of what we put into our bodies. You mentioned alcohol, and yes, most certainly, alcohol is one of the is quite a considerable cause of liver related disease, but by no means is it the only cause. There are a number of other conditions that can also affect the liver, and you know, I feel that there is some form of stigma that patients with liver disease are asked to endure. You know, especially when young, because it's not only alcohol, and people often jump to that point. We'll talk about other causes of liver disease in a sec, but just in terms of focusing on your question, avoiding toxins would be crucial, and alcohol is a toxin to the liver. It used to be said, you know, that moderate amount of alcohol can be good for your general well-being. Newer data is actually coming out against this, and even saying that no alcohol is good. No amount of alcohol is good for your health. Mm-hmm. Alcohol is detoxified within the liver, and some of its breakdown products cause inflammation, and mm-hmm. chronic inflammation of any organ will result in dysfunction at some point in time. There are about 2 billion people around the world that consume alcohol on a regular basis, and of that 2 billion people, 75 million have some form of alcohol use disorder. So it's a considerable amount of people that are affected by alcohol. There is a new pandemic that is being increasingly recognized, and this is something called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is now where you get fat deposited within the liver, and it's due to energy excess. This is where we're consuming food that is nutrient dense, results in a quick fix, and this is often your processed foods, fast foods that are high in caloric value. Mm. And then coupled with a relatively sedentary lifestyle, we don't really burn that off. So just as I said, how the liver stores energy, when it can't store energy anymore, and in the right setting, and we're still working out what is that right setting to induce inflammation. Inflammation can start taking place where those fat cells result in liver damage. Within the liver, it's a process called steatohepatitis. Steato being the fat component. Steatohepatitis is now the leading cause of liver transplantation in the West, and is gradually coming up as an important cause in our country as well.
Mm, yeah. So, in other words, if you can stay away from alcohol and fast foods, do that for the benefit of your liver.
Absolutely.
Okay. I've got some calls coming through, Dr. Bobet, that I'd like to take some of the voice notes as well. There are some listeners that have some questions. We've got Tandy who's calling us from Soweto. Tandy, good morning.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. And how are you?
Mm. Go ahead.
My story is a bit short, but I'll just shoot. I was on 2016, I was diagnosed with hepatitis A and B. So that affected my liver. And I ended up having a liver transplant. Luckily, I had a transplant and I had a donor. So the good things of keeping your liver healthy is very, very much important.
Mm. Mm. Oh, that's great. And I understand that Dr. Bobot was your doctor.
Yes, he was my doctor. Oh. And he's the one who's been through all this
nice.
With me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Hello, Sandy. How are you, dear?
Hi, doctor. How are you?
Good.
Lovely. Thanks for calling us, Tandy. Tandy, again, emphasizing that need of keeping your liver healthy. Here's a question, Dr. Bobot. Someone says, please can you ask the doctor if vitiligo skin condition can be attributed to some liver disorder?
No. So vitiligo itself is not associated with any specific liver disease. But how to phrase this. But vitiligo doesn't cause liver disease. What vitiligo is an autoimmune disorder, and vitiligo can be associated with other conditions that can then cause liver dysfunction. Most commonly of which is something called primary biliary cholangitis and autoimmune hepatitis. These are two conditions. One, the autoimmune hepatitis, it affects the actual liver cells, and the primary biliary cholangitis is where the bile ducts, the little channels that transport the bile that the liver makes into the gallbladder, those can be attacked by the body itself. So, you know, this opens us up to another range of conditions that we see quite commonly, and especially in young patients. And unfortunately, in the South African setting, it's often diagnosed late, where the patients already have end-stage liver dysfunction by the time that it's picked up. Autoimmune hepatitis can be relatively easily treated with steroid and other immune suppressants, and there shouldn't be a need for these patients to develop end-stage liver disease if picked up and managed appropriately.
Okay, I've got more questions that are coming up. We'll get to them after this break.
Hi. 702 Health and Wellness.
It's going up to 10 minutes before 12 o'clock. Let's continue with some of your questions for Dr. Bobert. We're talking about the liver. How do you keep your liver healthy? I'm getting a lot of questions here, Doctor, about how you can cleanse your liver from alcohol. In fact, another person is also asking about some of the tablets that they take, like Prohep or Essential, and he's asking, do these help counter daily alcohol consumption, or is this a waste of money?
Sure. So I'm not going to say it's necessarily a waste of money. I know there have been some studies looking at some of these compounds, looking at whether or not they provide some form of protection. I think that, you know, the issue here is that you need to consider alcohol as a blowtorch on your liver. If you're putting a blowtorch on, it's gonna get damaged at some point if you are consuming in excess. Depending obviously on how much you're taking, these medications may actually be, I don't want to say harmful, but give you a false sense of security in that you've got yourself covered almost, and therefore you can drink freely. That's not the case. A lot of these compounds have certain phospholipids in them that can be utilized to make cholesterol and help with certain repair processes. Again, you know, rigorous studies are yet to say yay or nay, and therefore I'm not necessarily going to give a definitive recommendation. I don't think they're harmful, so if you feel they help, then by all means, go ahead. I think that, you know, in terms of various hangover cures, other means of protection against alcohol-associated liver disease, the real only best thing to do is remove the blowtorch and abstain from alcohol. Make sure that you have at least 2 alcohol-free days a week. Recommended drinking limits for men in South Africa are 21 units of alcohol per week with 2 alcohol-free days. What a unit implies is a standard glass of wine. That's about 175 mils. It's 250 mils of beer. So that's just a little less than a can, will equal one unit. A shot of spirits, a standard shot. So that's about, you know, your 45 mils of 40% containing alcohol. But yeah, I think the most important thing is to observe a degree of abstinence. And that's why you have these campaigns such as, Oxsober and Sober January that are important.
Mm, okay. Lerato, you're calling from Pretoria. Good morning.
Hi, Clement. So I just want to ask the doctor. Doctor, my two girls had acute jaundice when they were born. So the normal jaundice rate, they had explained that it takes between 3 to 5 days to cure. But mine could go 2 weeks, 3 weeks in other cases, or the second one rather. So my question is around the fact that does that increase the risk of them having liver issues later? Also because one of their cousins passed away at a very young age because of liver failure. So I'm just wondering if acute jaundice does pose a risk for liver issues in their later life.
There are a variety of conditions in... Now, firstly, I'm an adult specialist, so pediatrics and, you know, your isn't really my focus. So I'm going to speak in general terms here. There are a variety of genetic causes of liver disease that can present with prolonged periods of jaundice. One of the more common causes is biliary atresia. This is where the bile ducts don't fully form. There are other syndromes which also result in various abnormalities around your bile ducts and bile transporters and various enzymes within the body where the liver is unable to fully complete its functions. And I'd hope that her pediatrician considered these. You do notice things such as yellowing of the whites of the eyes, dark urine, itching a lot, especially when it comes to the hands and soles of the feet. It would be worthwhile taking the child for a checkup. Obviously, you'd have your Road to Health card, and growth failure will also be associated with liver disease. And if any of those problems are surfacing, those should be warning signs for your practitioner to have a closer look. But when it comes to just plain standard neonatal jaundice, where the child's hemoglobin is being broken down from the fetal hemoglobin or the red blood cells to forming the mature red blood cells, that sort of jaundice can be expected and is normal and somewhat natural.
Yeah. Lerato and Pretoria, thank you so much for your call. Here are some of the questions coming through.
Hi, Clement. Can you please ask the good doctor if grandpa causes liver damage at all? I can't seem to find another headache solution, and I have headaches all the time. So I just want to find out if it impacts the liver negatively. So I can send him.
Right. Doctor?
So, you know, grandpa is an excellent medication for short-term use only. From what it sounds like, she's getting chronic headaches. These are happening regularly. And no, I certainly wouldn't recommend that grandpa be used chronically to treat that. One of the safest medications or analgesics for the liver, when taken in the right amount, would be something such as paracetamol. It's not going to cause gastric ulcers or kidney problems or even liver problems itself. But I think if you are suffering from chronic headaches, a GP consult would be appropriate. Just general advice, make sure that you're getting enough fluid, make sure that you're getting enough sleep. I certainly wouldn't be using grandpa on a chronic basis.
All right. Dr. Bilal Bobet, thank you so much for making time and coming through to also answer some of the questions our listeners have. I appreciate it.